Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS. This is episode 902. Got a really special show here. I've been really looking forward to it, Tribe. We got the fight of the century, as they say. What a load of rubbish. Brian's already shaking his head. He's wondering, why the hell did I agree to come on this? But it should be a really adult discussion, hopefully. We've got two real experts here. We got Brian Gardner and Kevin Geary here. We're going to be discussing where Gutenberg is at the beginning of 2024 and where it's going and where the WordPress project in general is going. Should be a great discussion. So Brian, would you like to give a quick 10, 20 second intro of who you are, Brian?
Yes, sure. I'm Brian Gardner. I'm a principal developer advocate currently at WP Engine. I was the founder of Studio Press, co-creator of the Genesis framework, and I have been building WordPress websites since 2006.
Yes, you only know a little bit about it. Kevin, would you like to give a quick 10, 20 second intro for those that don't know you?
Sure. I'm an agency owner. I am the creator of automatic CSS and frames. I've been using WordPress for about the same amount of time as Brian. Just excited to be here.
And I've got my great co-host, I've got Kurt. Kurt, would you like to give a quick intro to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Aden. I own an agency called Manana No Mas. I work directly with WP Tonic and Lifter LMS. It's a pleasure to be here.
Should I just say, it should be a great discussion. We're going to discuss all things Gutenberg and WordPress. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, Tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmenSend. OmenSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmenSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the discussion, I also want to point out we've got a new sponsor. We've got OmenSend. OmenSend build a SMS platform for Woo. They've got a great history with Shopify. They've seen the light. They're moving into WooCommerce. They've got a great plugin. If you need to offer that for your Woo clients, have a look at what they've got to offer. They're also offering 30% off for the first 3 months and $1,000 worth of migration. It's a great package. You can find more info about this particular product and the other sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you'll find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot, but that's what you're going to get from that punch. So let's go straight into it. Let's get sparring. So, Kevin, you got some constructive criticisms of Gutenberg and the Gutenberg project and where WordPress is, because the two things are very now combined, aren't they, Kevin? Would you like to give a quick outline of some of your main concerns and maybe some of your main criticisms that you recently have so effectively outlined?
Sure. And it's obviously a very broad topic, and there's a lot to talk about, but I'll just kind of, I guess, outline the premise. The premise, I guess, would be that there are kind of two camps now in WordPress. So you're going to have the page builder camp. There's people who primarily do all of their work in page builders. And there's people who do their work in kind of like the traditional methodology of WordPress with custom themes. It's probably more than two camps now. And then there's the Gutenberg side of things, the block editor, right? And I live, and the people I work with and the people that are in my inner circle and my audience and all of that, they're primarily in the page builder camp. Now, these people are interested in the block editor because the block editor is, and this is, I guess, up for debate. I put a Twitter thread out there asking people if they thought the block editor was a page builder or not a page builder or a replacement for a page builder or not a replacement for a page builder. Nobody could agree, which I do think is one of the fundamental problems. Like half the people think it is a page builder and half the people think it's not a page builder. Half the people think it's supposed to eventually be a page builder, but the other half think it's never supposed to be a page builder. So that's another issue. But the people who are primarily working in page builders do see the block editor as a potential page builder or page building alternative. And unfortunately, if you do currently look at it in that light, you do see a lot of tremendous limitation in comparison to the page builders that we currently have right now. So anybody trying to make a transition from page builder world to block editor world cannot really make that transition. When we run into some limitations in the block editor and block editor people say, oh, well, that's easy to overcome. Just take out VS Code and start, you know, doing all this custom code, just like you did in the old days or whatever. That's not the answer that page builder people want to hear. And they don't feel that should be the approach, especially given, because there's another wrinkle to all of this, the concept that the block editor is for everyone. The block editor is designed as an experience where we're democratizing publishing and everybody and anybody can come in and use the block editor in WordPress to build their website. That's the marketing, okay? So the answer can't be when we run into limitations, oh, we'll just get out VS Code and just, you know, work around it this way. Nobody wants to have to do that, and not anybody can do that. So that's my premise, is that there's a massive disconnect right now between these different worlds in WordPress, and it's not currently for everyone. And a beginner coming to WordPress or somebody transferring in from Wix or Squarespace or the like is not going to have a cohesive, workable experience in the current state of WordPress, in my opinion. That's my premise.
Well, what's your initial response to that, Brian?
So I'm going to start off by saying that I agree with just about everything Kevin said, with one small exception. I'll clarify that in a minute. Dissimilar to Kevin, I don't live in an agency world. I am currently, and have not been for quite some time, in the classic sort of historically how it's been done WordPress camp. I started embracing full site editing years ago when I developed Frost. It's one of the big reasons why I joined WP Engine, was to advocate for the block editor and WordPress and the direction in which it's going. I want to obviously clarify also that this is not a sparring match. that while we are in opposite sides of the perspective, that we are in
opposite. It's only a bit of fun, Brian. You know, that's what the WordPress drama crowd.
Link made his middle name, Jonathan. I get it. No, I'm an old school soul. So we are all in the same gang here, right? We're East Coast and West Coast, but we're all doing the same sort of thing. And I'd like to think that regardless of how we communicate online and stuff like that, we need two things to acknowledge. One, folks like Kevin and I and others who have, you know, larger followings, we need to just be conscious of the way in which we communicate our opinions, because a lot of people look up to us, you know, us and our opinions, and how we say things really matters, because those tones get taken out through comments and, you know, WP Tavern toasts and stuff like that. So we just need to kind of be aware and cognizant of how we voice our opinions. Number two, I feel like we're all here to just make WordPress better in some way. And yes, there's acknowledgements that things fall short. I think WordPress is and can be a page builder. I think it's more meant to be a site builder. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's meant to replace all of the page building experiences, because we know WordPress is backward compatible to a fault at times. And so for the next several years, we're still going to see classic editor plugin. We're still going to see page builders as they are now, classic themes, even Genesis themes from back in the day, still work and continue to work. And I think that, and I'll just jump in really quickly here without like over talking. The part in which I'm not quite sure I agree with is, I think WordPress and the block editor and this new experience is for everybody, though not everybody needs to use it. Like, it's open to everyone. But it's not like, and I've never been a person who says everybody should use this or needs to use this. In fact, we have a lot of people that we come in contact with, WP Engine agencies and stuff like that. They build with ACF, they build with older themes, they build with page builders, and that's okay. And that's fine. We're just here, at least our little department inside of WP Engine, to just help educate people who are interested in using it, and also trying to test it to help make it better, working with folks at Automatic and just the core contribution team, to just be the voice and to hear where the pain points are, and to see if there's a way we can creatively make suggestions via GitHub and so on, to just really help solve some of the problems. And I think what we're experiencing, even though we're 5 years in, is just everything's still mid-flight. It feels better than it was a year ago, two, three, 4 years ago. And again, WordPress is so big and there's so many different ways it can be used, and that's okay. And I acknowledge that it's not going to be for everybody, or at least everyone right now.
Yeah, before I ask Kevin to respond to that, I understand where you're coming from, Brian, but I think to me the key thing is that Kevin did a video, and he showed what I considered not a beginning, wanting to develop a beginning layout, but not a particular very advanced layout using native Gutenberg, and you can't do it, Brian. You know, and the response he got back was not, I wouldn't say misleading, but I also thought it was not very constructive. They people saying, well, you can build your own custom block, or you can use JSON. And I understood where they were coming from, but that's not the crowd that Kevin was really talking to, really. So I find that very concerning, that a very intermediate layout, you can't do it in native Gutenberg. Were you did you see that video, and were you concerned, really, Ryan?
I'm not concerned in the sense that I feel like everybody looks at this as black and white. It can't do this, therefore it stinks. It can't do this, therefore I shouldn't use it. I should use this because of that. And the reality is, this is it's an evolution. It's an evolution in working towards thing, hearing pain points. And the stuff that Kevin is doing, I think is well articulated. I think it's constructive. I think the peanut gallery, as I'll call them, that comes in and like likes to like support him, the way they say things might be a little more on the drastic side of things. I think Kevin's held himself quite well. But I, you know, like, this thing powers 50% of the internet. There's a lot going on. And there's very few people actually working on the project relative to the size of its impact. And so I think it was Gandhi who said, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. So you could do that several ways. You can, you know, be thought leaders. You can write blog posts around ideas of like what it can and can't do, showcasing things where there's limitations, hopefully in the spirit of just trying to like be constructive and positive around areas we can improve. And then there's like the side where if you're a coder or a developer and programmer, and sometimes not, go into GitHub and write the code to make the change you want to see, right? Like instead of going, and I'm not saying Kevin's doing this, but there are some people who I see, you know, who are basically seagulls in this because it's easy to just drop your opinion about something and move on. Now, I also want to acknowledge really quickly, and then I can let Kevin talk, is that I get paid to spend all of my time, not all, but a lot of my time sort of in this educational learning world. And we have weekly calls with folks who are in agencies. And I realize there's a thing called billable hours. And I don't have time to learn this because I got to like keep up with the projects that are coming in. And so I sort of encourage folks, the five for your future, but also five for your future, not just the future. Like spend a little bit of time, an extra hour a week, just getting involved and playing and, you know, spinning up local and throwing on like the latest beta version, see what's going on, just so you can start to like work towards understanding where this is going. Because the reality is this is where WordPress is going. Now, where it's been will continue to be where it can be for quite some time, as I mentioned earlier. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Madison, this reminds me of when we interviewed Matt on the show, and both of us, our eyes went up over our foreheads when he said, well, we're about 7 years in and this is a 10-year project.
Well, I never heard that one, but
yeah. I think Josefa was the one who said we were 5 years into a 10-year project, but recently, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and it was just like, well, wow, so what's the next 30% of the project gonna look like? You know, and what gaps will it fill and how capable will it be then? But the conversation today is this is where we're at today, and why do we have to lean on page builders so much, you know?
Right, Kevin, I'm going to let you, I'm tempted to frame this to you, Kevin, but I'm just going to let you respond. I'm just going to let you respond to what Brian's just outlined.
I will respond to Brian, but I wanted to respond to Mike first.
Yeah.
I probably have a bigger objection to anything that Mike has said so far. He said that Brian responded with a video showing how to do everything that I did, and that's just factually incorrect. He did accomplish the layout, but he did not accomplish the layout with native Gutenberg. He had to bring a code editor into it. It took him 3 to 4 times as long as it took me to do it in Bricks. And that's part of the argument. The argument is that we have a page builder like Bricks or Oxygen, where we demonstrate constantly that we have what's more or less a single environment for building sites and pages. And I can do all of my work in that single environment. I can do it to a higher standard. And when I go into Gutenberg, I'm no longer in a single unified environment. I'm in multiple places. I'm breaking up my project into some of it's done in the block editor, some of it's done in VS Code, some of it's done in JSON, some of it's all over the place. And I think we can all agree that that is a wildly inefficient model compared to an integrated development of, like, we have one area called Bricks or Oxygen, and I don't use Oxygen anymore, but to Bricks, where we can get our work done. And if we're talking about a crowd like Wix users, and I know that WordPress is competing in some form or fashion with Wix, with Squarespace, with Webflow. These are all integrated environments. These are all environments where people can do their work in a single tool. And so coming into WordPress where they're being asked to do work in multiple tools with multiple skill bases behind that, this is not a situation where they can just walk in. Okay. So, and for me, when we go back to trying to get more people using WordPress, that's a tough ask. That's a tough sell to say, no, you can't just walk in. Like the first thing that they have to do when a beginner walks in, and I think it would be really good for everybody involved in WordPress to just go back to step number one. If we're onboarding a brand new user into WordPress, what are we asking them to do? They have to come in. They have to, now it's very easy to install WordPress. So that's not a hurdle anymore, right? So that's done for them. But the minute they open it up, I mean, it's choose a theme. Okay. Or is it going to be an FSE theme or a traditional theme? Is it going to be a page builder? What? Because some page builders even turn off the theme. Well, right there, it's like, we're at a decision point. Now I have to know all of these things in order to make a decision. And then if I do make a decision going forwards, then there's a plugin issue. Then there's a this issue and a that issue. And so it's not, from an onboarding perspective, very user-friendly. And it could be much more user-friendly than it is. And I know some of this is baked in because, hey, it's open source and look at all of these options. And I know that's going to be the argument. Understandable, 100%. But if you came in and loaded up the 2024 theme and you used the native block editor like I did in that video, I would assume that somebody with my level of skill could just build a relatively simple layout according to some standards that were set. And I could not do that very easily. Some things could just not be done. The rest of it was just not very easy. And then I went over into Bricks and I said, look, I can do it in 15 minutes like that. Like, it's a cakewalk, right? That's what I mean when I say that there isn't a efficient onboarding process, because that should be the case. And if we go to Brian's argument about powering 50% of the internet, I think that does add a lot of complication. But what it also adds is responsibility. The responsibility to build a tool where you can walk in from Wix or Webflow. It's like, well, it powers 50% of the internet because look how awesome it is, right? Right now we have a tool where it powers 50% of the internet, but people can't even walk into it and feel like it's a great tool to use in its native state. It has to have a page builder attached to it. It has to have a block system attached to it. It has to have all these other things. And again, I'm thinking from native perspective, I want WordPress native to be awesome. My journey into criticizing Gutenberg and the block editor is because I wanted to build a product for it. And I kept running into tremendous limitations and issues, knowing my workflow, knowing my audience's workflow, about how this environment is not set up for success for us. And then that's why I challenged the for everybody narrative, because if it ain't for us, well, we can work in almost any environment. I can't imagine that it's hardly for anyone. So that became my initial argument against that marketing talk. Now, I know that was very random, but those are the ideas.
There's a lot in there. But before I go over to Brian, I just want to ask Kurt, because Kurt, you know, I wouldn't say 100% agree with you, Kevin, but I lean towards more to your intellectual position. I warm to it more than some of your most verbal critics, which I think some of them were, it got to the stage where they were personal attacks, which I thought were totally unjustified. But that comes with the WordPress space, basically, unfortunately. It's got some strengths, but there's a minority that always descend on personal attacks on people. That's how they operate. But Kurt pointed out something to me, Kevin, because I thought full site editing and the way that Gutenberg was going. Plus, I saw your video and it really got me a bit hot and bothered, because I thought, this is a train wreck. You're just pointing out the obvious and it's not good enough. But Kurt pointed out to me with his, he onboards a lot of people with his work with Lifter LMS. And he said a lot of new people love Gutenberg. That's what you said to me, didn't you?
I did. It's like, it's the weirdest thing, but you know, I volunteered at church with a lot of youth, and when you hand a kid like an iPhone or a tablet or anything, they've never seen it before. 5 minutes later, they got a game open. They're playing the game. Everything's just like, like they're happy. And you're going, how in the world did that kid just pick up that device and do that? Like, you know, I'm in my 50s. It took me 3 hours to figure out how to use an iPhone, right? I think it's the same way with these different building environments. I think when new eyes come in and they're not tainted by what they've seen in the past, they don't have old habits to break. I think they just adjust and they just fall in line, you know, kind of where, and I know Elementor hasn't been part of the conversation yet today, but I was really slow on adopting Elementor. And then next thing you knew, I had 30 sites on Elementor. And then when Elementor would break, I had 30 sites to fix, you know, on Elementor. And that kind of weaned me off when full site editing came out. I was like, I'm going to have to force myself to figure out how to do this efficiently because I can't keep having all these other websites break, you know, when I'm managing customers' products. And then, so it's just kind of weird, you know, trying to think about how my customers feel from an agency perspective. How do my customers feel with the product? If they go, well, I'm going to take care of my own content. They all say that, but barely any of them ever do, but they all say it. And then when you give them just a clean blocks environment, they seem to do well with it.
Right. I want to put this to you, Brian. I think we've got to clear one or two things up, Brian, before we move this conversation forward, Brian. First of all, hopefully you did see the video that Kevin did with that layout he was attempting. First, is that because I don't know enough, because I'm not actively in, I don't actively develop websites. I just work on my own stuff. First of all, I think the demo Kevin chose to do was, in my opinion, a very basic intermediate layout. First of all, would you agree with that? Secondly, I think some people did respond to him and said, yeah, I can do this. I think their attempts at trying to do an intermediate layout in native Gutenberg were laughable. I'm sorry, they were laughable, in my opinion, but I don't know enough. I would like your opinion on that, because they were utilizing native hand coding, third-party plugins. It went on and on, and as far as I was concerned, they were talking gibberish, Brian. Absolute. So what's your because I think we need to clear up. I'm saying this, and I just want your, because you know a lot more, me. In 2024, the demo that Kevin did, you cannot do that utilizing native blocks in the without using third party or modifying hand coding. What do you say about that?
I would love to give you clarification, and I'm going to be open and honest here. I did not watch the video in full, mainly because my February has been a personal challenge. And yeah. So that being said, and knowing this call was coming, I should have done that. I apologize. I did not. I would love to look into it. And I wish I could give a better answer. I'm not going to pretend like I watched it and try to kind of fluff through and just say, you know, it is what it is. So I apologize for not having done that work. So I can't answer that question, but what I will say is this, and I will, go back and watch that this week and see what I can do and sort of come up with not my own hypothesis or opinion, but I just want to be able to be educated around what the conversation was. I saw the conversation happening. I meant to always go and watch the video. I never did. One thing I will say is this. I think that the capabilities of full site editing and the block editor are significantly more there than I think a lot of people think. I'm not saying it can do everything. I'm not saying it's as powerful as Elementor, but I feel like a lot of people have formulated opinions from like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when it was more rough. And so I often come in contact with people who say, oh, I use a block for this, or use a page builder for that. And it's our job to inform them. There are now capabilities with that block editor to do a lot of what we're talking about. Now, I don't know the types of projects Kevin works on. I assume they're on the higher, more sophisticated end, like 10Up and Web Dev and all those. And the block editor is a challenge in those cases because those customers are paying lots of money. They've got requirements that probably and may always have greater asks of the block editor than what it can solve. But I just wanted to acknowledge that for a significant portion of the WordPress user base, the block editor can. Now, the education, I'll interrupt myself. The education part is where it's lacking because people don't know this. They don't know that this feature or function or this capability exists. And that's partly on me. It's partly on our team.
I'm sorry.
Automatic.
Brian.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude.
Go for it.
I've had enough of this argument, basically, Brian. That's an educational you need to go and look at the video, and maybe later on in the next couple of months, we can come back, because it's not an educational problem. I do understand, though, I do understand where you're coming from, Brian. You can't build an intermediate layout if you're a professional web designer and you're wanting to do a basic layout using native Gutenberg. You can't, using just the native editor without, and I've got a comment here, and I have interviewed one of the founders, Ollie WP, and they're very nice people, Brian. But it's like, Brian coded a block style with a hover of, well, that's the whole point, isn't it? I don't get it. I don't get this, Brian. You've got a group of really nice people and they're living in cloud nine cuckoo land, as far as I'm concerned.
I will disagree with your disagreement, but we can move on for the spirit of progress.
I'll speak to the Ollie WP comment. It's, you know, when people say the overall layout was easily made in the block editor, the overall layout was not the goal of the section that was being built, right? And if I wrote a blog post with very specific requirements, just like a client would, just like an advanced developer would, hey, we're not just building what we see. If we were all just building what we see, our jobs would be tremendously easier than they actually are. There are accessibility requirements. There were focus requirements. There was a lot of requirements under the hood. And a lot of those requirements are what created the problem, right? And so people can gloss over the specific requirements that were in the blog post. Just, oh, like many did. That's a very easy layout to achieve. I didn't choose a hard layout. I made it easy on purpose. It was the underlying requirements that weren't so easy. And that's what everybody either skipped or missed or couldn't replicate. And that's where the big problem came in. So I think when, you know, with the Ollie comment saying, you know, the overall layout was easily made, but none of the advanced requirements were met until we went into VS Code or some other environment. We started messing with JSON files. We started doing all this other stuff that, when I added the videos, the rebuttal videos that were actually good, I added them to the blog post and I thanked the people for creating them. And I said, this is fantastic. This is exactly what I wanted to see. But it also proved the point that, number one, if you're going to do it with native, it's 4 to 5 times as long. It's 4 to 5 times as much work, and it's in multiple environments. And that was the end of it. And I don't fault Brian for not watching it because, you know, I'm just...
No, I tell you, Brian, I'm not having a go because I know Brian has been really busy and been dealing with things.
Yeah.
He's an extremely honest individual, Brian. That's why I asked him to come on this, because I knew that he's... arguments to you, Kevin, would be factually based. They wouldn't be personal attacks because right. That isn't Brian's style. We're going to go, you know, I just want...
That particular video is actually not, I mean, it is a decent example, but there's so much more for us to talk
about. We're going to be broadening it out in the second half of the show, folks, which we're going to have our mid break now. And then I've pushed back a little bit to Brian in this first half. I will be starting the second half pushing back a bit on Kevin's position because I think there's some problems with your position as well, Kevin, with third-party page builders and web builders. But before we go for a break, I just want to comment on Ollie WP, really nice team and a great project. It's certainly part education. You can't read it just magical. It's a new tool. Well, this is the whole problem, is it's not a new tool. We're 5 years into this project. That's the whole problem. It isn't a new tool. It's 5 years into it, folks. This is the problem, in my opinion. We're going to go for our break, folks. We will be back in a few moments.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS. the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a good discussion. It's got a bit passionate, but it always does. That's the great thing about WordPress. So, Kevin, I think my great co-host has pointed out problems with your position, Kevin, not with your demo, which I think your demo was fair. And I think some of the reactions to it were extremely unfair. I think it's some of the things that my co-host pointed out. You know, it's all right using a third-party page builder, but look at what my co-host pointed out with the 30 websites and a bit of a bit of a shit fest with Elementor, you know, bringing out constant updates that break websites left, right, and center. Look at Oxygen and the founder there. And, you know, I do not warn with his statements and his business practices. Look, Divi, really nice people, but I cannot in all consciousness ever recommend Divi as a proper web development tool. So it's all right having a go at Gutenberg, but I think some of the justifiable criticism on your position, Kevin, is you don't point out the considerable problems of utilizing a third-party page builder, Kevin. You just keep going on about Gutenberg's weaknesses and you base it on fair examples, but you don't really, and people have a go at you, Kevin, because they say you have products and a book of business that encourages you to attack Gutenberg, but you don't also point out the weaknesses of third-party plugin solutions. Well, how would you respond to that, Kevin?
Well, anybody who thinks I don't criticize Elementor or Divi hasn't watched a single minute of my videos. I do have a lot of...
I'm just pointing out what other people say, Kevin.
I have plenty of criticism for many of these tools. I also don't think we should pretend that the Gutenberg project has never broken anything. I remember not too long ago, a fairly major issue. I can't remember what it was because I'm not in that world that much, but it caught it out of the corner of my eye, right? I don't think their hands are 100% clean in terms of breaking things that people previously wanted to work. There's also the aspect of, something Brian said earlier with regard to, there are these different environments and you can choose the one that you like best. And that's great about WordPress. There's two angles here. Number one is, and I know Brian can't actually answer this question because he's not in the heads of, Matt and so on, but is there a concerted effort or will there be a concerted effort in the future to phase out third-party page builder-like tools, for example? I know that there's a democratizing data movement where we're going to be creating integrations, or Automatic is going to be creating integrations to move people from page builders like Elementor and Divi to the block editor. Some of those seem like a potential, attack vector on page builders. But the second aspect of that is, I was doing something in the block editor the other day and I was watching a video and they had controls in their block editor that I don't have in mine. And I started asking myself, why is that? Why is their WordPress different from my WordPress? Well, they have a FSE theme that enables these controls. And I'm using Brix. And Brix is not an FSE theme. Brix is its own theme. It's its own page builder. And so when I go into Gutenberg to do things in the block editor, those controls that should exist for me do not exist for me. unless I'm doing something else wrong. And so we have this situation where I actually want to use the block editor, but because of the theme/page builder I'm using, tools that should be available to me are not available to me. And I do see that as a relatively big problem. And then as far as criticism goes, I never criticize these third-party tools, and I should be more open to the block editor. I'll just reiterate again that a lot of these criticisms and all of this discussion around the block editor, my focus on it, came from wanting to develop a product for the block editor. And we are actively going to start development in March on this tool, right? So I'm looking at it as I'm coming into this environment, and these are the issues that I'm seeing, not just, ooh, I want everybody to stay in page builder land and ignore this block editor. That's not the situation here. The situation is I want to move more heavily into the block editor, and I'm just pointing out these limitations and issues that I'm running into.
How would you respond, Brian?
So first and foremost, whether it's on the clock or off the clock, Kevin, I want to volunteer any of my time to help facilitate any part of that process, which you and your team are moving towards the block editor in March. So if that's Zoom calls, I would love to just sit in, listen to you guys talk, address pain points, help be conduits between like things that are going on and all of that. So I just want to throw that out there. Number two, and we keep using the word problem, and I'm starting to have a problem with the fact that we're calling everything a problem here. And I acknowledge this is going to sound extremely utopian. I am Disney-based guy. If you build it, you can dream it sort of thing. Like, these are all opportunities, right? They're not problems, because we start calling them problems, we're automatically associating negativity to everything we're trying to do. So,
yeah, but Brian, I'm English.
I'm just saying, I've always tried to be a half glass full kind of guy. So while nothing's perfect, nothing will ever be perfect, let's look at these things. And I love that Damon called this out earlier in the chat. And of course, Damon is a colleague of mine, so I want to acknowledge that as well. Where do we go from here is really what I want to spend the last 20 minutes of this conversation going. We could talk about, yeah, we're 5 years in and it should be further along. There's a lot of these things are very, very true. There's a lot of work. I do want to acknowledge Carolina Niemark is an advocate for bringing functionality that's in the block editor into classic themes. I just saw something go through yesterday that was, hey, let's enable these controls, patterns inside of classic themes and stuff like that. And yes, obviously by nature of like the progress and the project, classic themes might feel and maybe even are poor stepchildren in this, you know, totality. But there is work to help bring, because there's an acknowledgement. People don't want to get there yet. They don't want to use an FSE theme. They don't have a need to start using an FSE theme because their current site works. But how do we bring some of that capability? And there is work being done to pull some of that into it. So that's just kind of what I wanted to say, just relative to, you know, where we're at with this conversation.
Right then, fair enough. I'm sorry, Brian, I'm just English. I'm blue with doom, Brian, I'm sorry. It's just all my nature. I can't help it.
That's why he keeps me around.
Yeah, well, Kirk's much more positive than me. But I'm negative to everybody, Brian. So there we go. Right, let's move the conversation on. So I think the other area that I'm going to upset Brian again. I'm going to be a bit negative again, Kevin. I think some of your other bigger concerns was where the Gutenberg or the WordPress project was going. And I think one of your main problems, Kevin, is this idea that it democratizes publishing and this whole concept. And you think intellectually it's a bit, I'm struggling for the right word. I'm going to find this whole idea that you can open it, democratize web design or completely. You got a problem with the whole concept. Can you give us some of that and a better, because I've really done a terrible job here, haven't I, Kevin? And then I can get Brian to respond.
Sure. So I think there's two things. One, I wanted to bring up from a previous conversation regarding the education side of things, how fast can somebody pick up the block editor? And then talk about the value or the merits of democratizing web design. So I was on Oxygen for a very long time, produced a bunch of Oxygen videos, and then I made the switch to Brix. And the learning curve for switching from Oxygen to Brix was a weekend, okay? Now, I've been using the block editor for months and months and months and months and months. I still don't understand half of it. And so the reason why, when somebody says, yes, of course, it's a new tool that requires you to be educated about how the tool does things. That's the fundamental problem with the block editor, is that it doesn't have...
And I'm not being rude here, Kevin, but I just need to... I had a very, very similar attitude, but Kirk has pointed out. I don't know if we're totally correct there, because my native position is very similar to yours. But I think, because you're much, technically much better than me, but I think we suffer from the same thing. We got baggage, Kevin.
No, I understand. No, it's not baggage. It's so fundamental web design is not baggage, right? It's like, okay, so when I tell people this all the time, you open Brix, Elementor, Divi, whatever, they all brag about how they have 4 gazillion blocks. You know, you can add anything. Okay, when I use Brix, I use the same 4 blocks over and over and over and over and over again. I use a section. I use a div. They have a block, which is just a div that's set to flex by default and 100% width. So these are the, and then I got a heading, a text, a link, whatever, right? These are the basic things. If I go into Gutenberg and if I opened any web design environment, I would expect to see a section, a div. And if they want to call it a group, that's fine. Call it a group, whatever you want to do. But one issue with this is that all of the semantics are different. All of the naming conventions are different. You do fundamentally have to relearn how to do web design, because they've built a new paradigm for building websites where one didn't need to exist. So for example, everybody knows, my mom knows, if you go, hey, we need a new section on a page. Hey, she can get that. She can get that. So why not have a section element? Because we know that section elements are fundamentally different from other types of containers. They have a different semantic tag. They have fun structure.
I think Brian wants to respond.
Go on, Brian.
Okay, so Kevin, just to clarify, adding a group block and changing from div to section as part of the UI, what are you asking for that's different from that?
I'm sorry, you cut out for just a second. Say that again.
I was saying, when you add a group block and wrap something in a group, and then just with the dropdown, change it from a div wrapper to a section wrapper.
Yes.
Which is easy to do, arguably. What is what you're asking for? How is that different from the capabilities of WordPress in this case? Just so I understand, when you say you should just be able to add a section, like, well, yeah, you got to add a group, but then, you know, basically tag it as a section. Very easy to do. Semantic markup, as one would expect.
Correct. So one big fundamental problem with that is that nobody that doesn't know anything about web design. Let's go back to my mom. So my mom needs to add a section to the page. So she adds a group block. She will give her a whole year. She'll never find that area where she needs to change that to it. She doesn't even know she needs to look for that area to find and put it in a section, right? So having a section element that's a section by default. We also know that sections typically have different padding constructs than other containers. Right. So where do we get that padding construct from? Where is that global setting set? And if we look at things like automatic CSS, we look at a page builder like Brix that allows you to set this at the global level. Hey, there is this thing in HTML called a section, and it behaves different from other containers. So they give you a section element that has all of these default changes and differences built into it so that you don't have to do it over and over and over again across the website. Because that's the other thing. There is just an efficiency standpoint here. Every time I add a group, it's like, all right, I got to go to this other area, 3 panels deep, and find this HTML tag section where I change this to a section. I got to remember to do that, which opens the possibility for some things to be sections and not sections because we simply forgot. There's a lot of problems. And my argument has been, again, everybody knows, even a day one beginner, what section kind of means. And so just give them a section element that's got to be different from a group block. Like they're just not the same thing fundamentally. And there's a lot of issues in the block editor like this, where it's like, it could have just been the thing that it's always been called, but we're just going to call it something new because I guess this is a new thing that we're building. And I think they got a little bit into their own, like, I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know. But there are situations where it's just not easier. It's just they changed it to for the sake of changing it, not because anybody benefited from it being changed. The other thing with semantic tags, by the way, is that it's extremely limiting. So I can use literally any tag I want on any box inside of Bricks. I am very limited. And this was one of the actual from my video. This is a prime example. I could not make a list out of the group block. When you add a group block container, you can't change that to a UL or an OL. You can't change any of its children to LIs. That was a fundamental requirement of the section that I created. And that's one thing I was not able to do inside of the block editor because those just aren't options.
Okay. Can I ask you a fun question? And yes. This is not a... anyway, do you or anybody that you have on your team, are you guys, and I just don't know the answer to this question, technically capable of assisting the team to make that transformation, that transform option part of the core project? Like, do you guys have the skill set to say, hey, we can go in and just write this code and submit this as a PR so that the problem that we're acknowledging here can be then solved for everybody to use WordPress?
Yes. The problem is I'm not convinced that they believe it's a problem that needs to be solved. And so, I've come up against this many times where people say, hey, just become a contributor. And it's like, I can't become a contributor if I'm going to do all of this work and propose all of these things that the rest of the people contributing don't fundamentally see as a thing, right? Because anytime I bring up a challenge like this, we'll use the new terminology. So anytime I bring up a challenge like this, a lot of times I'm met with, oh, well, that doesn't need to happen. That's not that important. That's not how we work. Okay. You need to learn how we work. This is an education thing, right? This is a new paradigm for building websites. And so I think anytime we just are going to abandon fundamentals of, they've been around for just decades now, like a section's a section's a section. And this is what's fantastic about page builders. And I explain this in my page building 101 course, 100% free. So I'm not selling anything, right? In the very intro, we talked about what is the purpose of a page builder. The purpose of the page builder is to make our efforts more efficient, right? We don't want to write. It's not because I can't write HTML. It's not because I can't write simple JavaScript or simple PHP. It's that I don't want to because it's slower and I want an environment. Once they came up with the concept of a page builder and says, hey, look what this thing can do for you and how fast you can work when you use it. And then the big hurdle there was, but look at all the shit code that it outputs on the, like, I don't want all that mess, okay? And so what I want is, I want the page builder to write code like...
I think this is the fundamental thing. Before I've got, because we got about another 12 minutes because Brian needs to go off to a meeting, so we can't be over. So, and you're very passionate, Kevin. I think I do understand where you could, before I throw it over, because I've got a couple of questions for Brian. But before you go, before I do that, my only comment, Kevin, is, like I said, is that I totally understand where you're coming from, Kevin, but I think sometimes you overplay the benefits of something like Bricks or Oxygen or whatever it is, because Kurt's pointed out the reality, which is linked to Elementor, of consistent sites breaking. The beautiful world of the page builder, it has great strengths, but some people say that you don't point that out, and you pushed back on me on that, that the world of the page builder has its separate problems.
Well, so does the, I mean, you, like I said, if we can't use the native block editor, then you have to have a block system. You have to have Frost. You have to have something, right? You have to, and that is another layer that does have potential breakage. I don't really see a fundamental difference between a third-party block system and bricks. I just don't see a fundamental difference if we're just talking about the potential for breakage.
Right. So, Brian, I think this is only my opinion, and I would like you to comment on it, is there's a dichotomy here. There's people, and I sense it's in Automattic itself and the business drivers. And I think it's been commented that really Gutenberg really needs to be like where Canva is going with their page building, website builder, a true drag and drop. But can a true drag and drop builder produce accessible code, clean code? Can it be a tool for those that are just looking to drag and drop, and also fulfill the needs of an agency developer or a freelancer that wants to build high quality websites, Brian?
For starters, I can stay late, by the way. I had a call leading up to this one, so I can stay late if we need to. One of the things I feel, well, first of all, Kevin acknowledged this earlier, WordPress is open source. So let's start there. Most of the things that we're talking about, Squarespace, Wix, Webflow, Framer, all of these tools are not. And by nature of that, you have things that are, you know, benefits from that and then drawbacks from that. One of the drawbacks is you've got like a whole community of people like plugging into it with third party things. And it's not a walled garden. It's not a controlled environment. That being said, I think with everybody who talks about WordPress, uses WordPress, everybody wants it to do what everything else can do, which means jack of all trades, master of none, to some extent. And no, I do not think that we are going to see WordPress ever be at a place where you could like literally just drag an element to whatever exact pixel or XY coordinates as you want and then just hit publish. Why? Because that's not maybe the exact intent of where WordPress is a robust, sophisticated CMS that's been around for 20 some years. And I say the word gimmicky lightly here, you know, something like, oh, you could just like click a button and then like color it blue and like put your picture here. That is really not, like, in my opinion, the general WordPress persona. That's a hobbyist looking to like quickly spin something up. And that's, WordPress is really not for them at that point. So I don't think those capabilities need to find their way into WordPress core.
Well, before I throw it over to Kevin, I want to respond. First, this is just my opinion, Brian. I don't believe that WordPress is a truly open source project. I don't. In governance, in the way it's managed, I put this to the joint founder, to Matt Malweg, a few weeks ago. I got his normal response. Technically, it is an open source project, Brian, but I don't think it follows the true... It is controlled financially. It needs the money from Automattic. It isn't truly an open source project. Never has been for a very long time. And I think this realization, for various reasons, which I don't fully understand, we end up with a lot of, I don't know how to put it really, Brian, but miscommunication and delusionary statements like it is a truly open source project. And anybody that really works in it knows it isn't, Brian. But that's my position. I'm not saying it. I might be totally wrong, Brian. And also, I think this is the problem, Brian, is that I don't really know where it's going, Brian. You seem to have a clearer understanding that I get from the leadership of Automattic, to be quite truthful, Brian. It seems to want to be everything, and that's a problem. So I'm going to throw over to Kevin. So what would you respond to, Brian? What do you think I've just said? Do you think I'm totally losing it, Kevin?
Well, no, I think this kind of takes us back to the democratizing web design concept where anybody can be a web designer. And Brian mentioned hobbyists building websites and such. And I think if a hobbyist is going to build a website, right? And I think it is important to like look at the user profiles of people who use WordPress or want to use WordPress. If, and this probably speaks to Kurt's point about people liking the block editor if, as a beginner, right? And we have to figure out why they like the block editor as a beginner. I also kind of want to get clarification on Brian's earlier statement about site editor versus page builder. Because I think there's probably an interesting distinction there. But what I would imagine a hobbyist does is they come in and they load up some sort of theme / template system. It doesn't matter what we call it. And they, you know, customize maybe some colors and they change some content around and they're not building pages. They're not adding sections and groups and building layouts and all of this other stuff primarily, right? Maybe if they have to for one specific purpose, but the most part, I think they're purchasing some sort of predefined, pre-designed layout system and adding their homepage, their about page, all that, swapping out content, changing some colors, hitting publish and moving on with their life. That's like what I see as a general hobbyist, right? Now, somebody that uses a page builder who wants to actually start from a blank page, okay? So people aren't familiar with bricks. You start with a white page. That's what you start with. And then you add fundamental HTML elements like sections and divs and such, okay? If the block editor, this is what's funny, I say funny, but it's kind of depressing about the block editor is that if you just gave me a section and a div and a heading and text and link and a custom CSS box, I don't even need all the inputs. Like people look at bricks, it looks like a airline cockpit, right? It's like, look at all these controls and inputs. You actually don't need all of that, any of that, okay? If it just had a CSS box and fundamental HTML elements, I could do almost anything that I want to do in it. The flip side is that the reality is that I can't do hardly anything in it because it doesn't give me any of that. It doesn't give me the custom CSS box, nor does it give me the fundamental HTML elements that I need. We can go into class-based workflow versus non-class-based. There's an argument there for, hey, anybody, if we're democratizing, like people shouldn't have to learn a class system. Okay, we can figure that part out. But where we're at right now is just the block editor doesn't even have the base level fundamentals for somebody like me to come in and use it as a page builder. But I think that's where we get back into the conversation.
Well, I think that's a good question I can put to Brian. So Brian, do you think, you know, you're a tremendous, you know, you are the godfather of third-party themes in a way. You're one of the, you developed this whole market in a way, or you're one of the founders. I don't think there's any one individual that knows more about this than you. Well, do you honestly feel that if you were an experienced web developer looking to build semi or full custom websites, that you would be happy utilizing Native Gutenberg to build those websites?
Generally speaking, my answer to that is yes. And Kevin, to your point about the section elements, or we'll call them blocks, I guess, right? Keep in mind the group block, there's a stack and a row variation. So if you're saying we should have an element block and a heading block and then a side block and a sidebar block, then all of a sudden you've got maintenance on all of these things. So as a sophisticated developer or builder of WordPress, unlike your mom in your example, I would think it would be very easy to say, I'm going to throw this stuff on a page, wrap it in a group. I know where the section thing is, and then move on from that. What I will say is this, and I know we're going to be sort of running out of time here, but I want to acknowledge just kind of where I'm at. And Jonathan, to answer your question, we sold Studio Press to WP Engine almost 6 years ago. The reason behind that was I was unsure of the direction of Gutenberg. At the time, our team was small. And so I was like, we're not going to compete. So let's just sell and find a better place for it to land. And in part, I was a little bit unsure of the direction of where WordPress was going. I'll admit that. I've never denied that. When I realized and this was 5-6 years ago, when I realized the trajectory of where WordPress was going, I realized the opportunity, like the way in which I like to build products and to design websites and stuff, which isn't for everybody. I'll start with that. I realized like this is heading in a direction to which I feel like it re-empowers me and the people who I like to build for in a way and TenUp and web dev and Kevin, maybe some of the use cases that you have may not be that sort of audience. I realized where this was going, and I'll say this, and I've said this often recently. I'm more excited about WordPress today than I've ever been in the 18 years I've ever worked with it. Now, it's because I know how to do what I need to do with it. It allows me to design in a way that's easy and I can expedite and do things that are unique. Somebody wants to drop a link, go to wellnessmama.com. I recently launched that site on, and that homepage is full site editor with no plugins. And so I see the potential in this. Yes, it's taking us some time. And yes, I get frustrated often when I go to do a thing and there's a reason why it's not working. I ping Nick Diego, I ping Rich Tabor, I ping Ann McCarthy all the time and say, hey, here's a fundamental problem that exists. We need to like escalate this, or this is a problem for a lot of people. And so I get frustrated almost daily. So I don't live in a unicorn utopian world with it all, because I try to push the boundaries. I see the potential. I like to help make that change and to do whatever I can. It's why I joined WP Engine. It's why I'm thrilled I get to get paid to do this as my job, because I love it. And so I think to your point, Jonathan, I'm trying to remember exactly how you asked me the question that you did.
Yeah, I have that problem as well, Brian, all the time.
So, I know it's not rose-colored glasses all the time. And again, you know, I don't know even where I'm going with all of this other than I'm a huge...
Well, I consistently have the same problem, Brian, so I won't worry too much. My great co-host will give testimony for that. I want to close the podcast, but are both of you up to continue the discussion for 10, 15 minutes? Is that okay?
Yeah,
right. Sure. So we're going to close down the podcast part of the show, folks. We're going to continue the discussion for a little while. You'll be able to watch the whole show on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Go over there and subscribe to it. That would be much appreciated. So, folks, so Brian, let's wrap up the podcast part of the show. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Brian?
My personal website, briangardner.com. I recently just made the decision to put everything I do into that website. So all of my projects, my design, my WordPress related stuff will be at briangardner.com. Up in the corner, upper right-hand corner with the native social icons block, is the best way to connect with me, mainly Twitter. That's where I interact as much as I possibly can. Twitter X, whatever we're calling it these days. So those two places.
So, Kevin, what's the best way for people to communicate that you're the antichrist of WordPress thing?
Everything about me is at geary.co, G-E-A-R-Y.co. So just go there, and that's kind of the central hub.
Yeah, and he'll respond to your ridiculous comments, and he's a robust way, folks. Over to you, Kirk. What's the best way for people to... Oh, Jesus, I get myself into so much trouble. Kirk, what's the best way for people to contact you?
I'm also on X at Mañana No Más, and then Mañana No Más is my company name, everything social, or the mañananomás.com website. And lastly, LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn almost every day, and I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find.
That's great. We're going to wrap up the podcast of the show, folks. We will be back next week with another great interview. Well, we've got our roundtable show coming up this Thursday, so please join us for that. So that should be an interesting discussion as well. We've got a couple great WordPress people joining us, a special guests on the roundtable show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.